This is David Haken with KC Cafe Radio at the Kerrville Folk Festival. I'm here with Carrie Ray, who is one of the finalists in the New Folk Songwriting Competition. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your background in music growing up.
You know, we were one of those families. I don't know if it's because I'm a little young for this, maybe, but we grew up rural. You know, we were rural people, so country folk. And so family reunions were kind of like jams and things. So I've been singing. I think I sang my first solo in church when I was 3 years old. I was away in a manger at Christmas time. And my dad played the guitar. But, you know, every family reunion was basically kind of a hootenanny. That's kind of how it worked out. And if you didn't play an instrument, you played the spoons or hit something and sang. You know, everybody sang harmony. And it was kind of that whole, what is it, daddy sang bass, mama sang tenor. You know, that kind of vibe. That's how I grew up. So I was steeped in music from the time I was really tiny. And I've been the singer my whole life.
Okay, cool. Yeah. What was the spark for the song you're going to play for us today?
Well, I think that I argue, and I suppose it's just an argument for discussion, I argue that every song by a songwriter is at least, I was just talking to somebody about this earlier, like it's got a skosh of autobiographical content in it. And I think even if it's as simple or as minor as the story you're telling that has nothing to do with you is told through your filter of your perspective of the world.
Right.
So it's like it's colored like a lens at the very least, right? And so I think that for me, this song, even though it's not directly about me, I think that every once in a while I look in the mirror and see little hints of a hypocrite that I'd rather not see.
Right.
And I have to remind her that her services are not needed. And so I kind of wanted, I guess, to tie a string around my finger about that. And the way that I decided to do it was I wrote this song and I sort of conjured the vision of this woman I remember from a child from church who she just sort of visually embodied that kind of holier-than-thou kind of vibe, even though I'm sure she was a lovely woman. I don't remember. I was a kid. And so I kind of conjured her and then sang a song to her. And but the her is really obviously the part of me that I need reminded about now and then.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's hear that song.
All right. It's called Sister Hay. Well, I saw you in town today. You caught my eye and then you looked away. I guess you didn't have nothing nice to say. At least you didn't say nothing at all. Then on Tuesday night, you go downtown for devotions with a recently found one that was lost. It never came around. Did you really answer the call? Sister, hey. Brother, hey. Best be minding what you say while you all watch what you do. You know the good Lord is watching too. For the lost in the front pew with your ankles crossed. But for the homeless, you got no coin toss. You can't even spare a few. And then the TV preacher with a shiny grin is asking you to send your money in. You ride a big check while you shout amen, cause he's praying just for you. Sister, hey. Brother, hey. Best be minding what you say while you all what you do. You know the good Lord is watching too. Hey there, sister, better than you. You're gonna have some explaining to do when your time in this old world is through and you stand before you. A sister, hey, brother, hey, best be minding what you say while you are watching what you do. You know the good Lord, sister, hey, brother, hey, best be minding what you say while you are watching what you do. and all the good love is watching too. Thank you.
I love the tongue-in-cheek nature of that song.
Thank you.
Makes it fun.
Thank you.
And great picking, kind of like the old Delta Blues.
Yeah.
That song.
Kind of into that Piedmont thing a little bit.
So tell us about your most recent album.
The most recent album is called Bad and Better Angels. That song's actually on it. And one of the things we wanted to do, you know, it's like, obviously, you always want to go in and you want to make a record that sounds as good as it can, you know, whatever that means, radio ready, all those terms that folks use, and polished and everything. But especially like that song, given the nature of the type of material that I write and that it's often a nod to a time that came before. So think, you know, speakeasy, kind of like early last century kind of vibe. I think putting that in a package that sounds too modern and polished, like, almost is a disconnect.
Right.
You know, it would be like me playing that on
piano
or I guess I'm a guitar player, right? So it's right. Like me playing that on some kind of like Music Man electric guitar or something. It's just not, it doesn't seem like a fit. So we really wanted to employ some tactics that make the album sound like an album that could have been made at that time. So we were very careful to kind of stay away from a lot of modern plugins and mods and things like that. So like on the record, all of the reverb is like natural reverb from a room mic. We did multiple miking of things. We recorded it in the sanctuary of an old church so that the room itself is almost like another member of the band. And we just kept things really simple and really as analog as possible. The whole signal chain was vintage analog, old RCA microphones, and which was also just kind of a ball in and of itself because it was almost like it felt like reenacting almost. So we had a ball, and it really, I think that played into how we played the songs too. The fact that I was singing into this giant old RCA microphone, it has you embody, I think, a different vibe even when you're playing the songs.
Yeah. So I know Bonnie Raitt did an album where everybody was playing at the same time, and it was analog, and it was in a big barn.
Yeah.
And you can definitely feel the energy.
Yeah, and a lot of that is because Dion and I, I normally play as a duo, Carrie Ray and the Shaky Legs, and that's the album. Dion Ward is my partner in crime. I play guitar, resonator, and she's a drummer, and we both sing, so the harmony was missing and the percussion on that song. What I'm used to hear, I hear it in my head now when she's not here. I forgot where I was going with that. I got sidetracked by thinking about her drumming and having all those shaky legs going. But I think that as much as possible, we get a lot of feedback about having this. People have a great experience at a live show. And, you know, that can, as you know, that can be very difficult to capture in the studio. Because I don't know if anything else, you just bring a different energy to the studio because it feels like it's for keeps and it's not a one-time thing. And it's, you know, it's in the archive, you know. So we really tried to loosen things up as much as possible. And we did isolate. We were in different rooms. But while we were playing, we did play at the same time, the instrumental part.
Yeah.
And we were, we could see each other. The other thing that's kind of cool is there's one track on the record that, you know, normally anymore you track one vocal and then you track the other separate time and they get mixed later. We did that and, like, knew we had it safe. And then we went in and we did it old school and we both stood and sang into the microphone together. And it's the sweetest blend on the record, and we left it that way.
Yeah.
So we did it truly old school, and it just was really cool because you can play off of each other more. You're hearing each other in that moment and that resonance, and it was a blast to do. And I love the result. So
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, who are your musical influences?
You know, you kind of teed up a couple questions you might ask, and so already I was kind of noodling on that. And it would be really easy for me to mention a couple of luminaries, you know, more current luminaries that I really respect their songwriting and so on. But I think it's true that while what you listen to when you get older and have kind of your own curated vibe and sensibility definitely influences you as a writer, I've come to feel like in a lot of ways the music that I was surrounded by growing up has as much or more influence on what I do now as anything I dig now.
Right.
So for me, and it's like almost like I can't escape it. So, and I had a really weird, it was like a weird set of sounds coming in because my father was a big bluegrass fan. We were at bluegrass jams all the time. So, and that's a lot of where church and bluegrass stuff is where a lot of my harmonic sensibility right. comes from, my melodic sensibility. And then my mom like loved like Beatles and, you know, she kind of was into more of that kind of pop music of that time. And then I found by listening late at night in my little town, you know, I found the blues like on public radio on Saturday
right.
night. I like found that myself. And then I was listening to, you know, like Rosetta Tharpe and Betsy Smith and listening to some of these artists and Memphis Minnie, right? And Memphis Minnie, like a lot of these women, especially Memphis Minnie, really, even though I don't play in open tunings, like that sensibility of rhythm, I think really impacts what comes out of my hands, right. which sometimes surprises me because I try not to judge it. I just let what happens. It comes out of my mouth. It comes from my hands. I just like see where it takes me sometimes. And so I think that music influences me as much or more as any of the amazing songwriters I could name now. So I'll leave you to guess who you think I sound like now or who my voice sounds like. You know, people love to do that after shows. Like, you remind me of you.
Right.
So far I haven't been offended. Although I will say that one of the, you mentioned earlier, like about interesting shows or whatever. So there's been some doozies for sure. But that makes me think of an instance where I probably got the most kind of initially interesting and peculiar compliment that I had ever gotten as a singer. Until I hung out for a minute to listen to what she had to say, and then it was one of the most amazing compliments I'd gotten. Someone came up to me after a show, okay, hang in with this. She said, so if I can say, and she was kind of timid, she says, you remind me, like listening to you sing reminds me of Dean Martin. And, you know, I'm kind of stifling a grin a little bit, and I was like, really? You know? And she said, what I mean by that is when he sang, he opened his mouth and it was just like butter and it was beautiful and it sounded effortless. And that's how I feel when you sing. And so then, of course, I went from like stifling a grin to having like chicken skin all over, right? And I just, of course, like hugged her and I thanked her so much because that was so gracious and generous of her to say.
Yeah.
And I knew she meant it. So that was kind of a initially most peculiar and then one of the kindest compliments I've ever been paid as a vocalist. So that right. that ease that she thought she heard.
Well,
so it was pretty cool.
You certainly have an extraordinary voice. And thank you so much for coming in today and sharing your music with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.